Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. Yesterday, I was speaking pretty strongly about the need to make some choices and not, again, to straddle. You can be in the world, but not of it. Are you in the world and of it? In other words, have its values, its priorities shaped yours? Or are the world's values and the way you use them shaped by the recognition that I belong to God, that I take all my priorities from Him? How am I living? You're probably doing what most of us do, which is you straddle one foot in the world and one foot in God's kingdom. It's not a safe place to be. It really isn't. The values and the standards of this world, right now, especially in our time, those values and standards will not lead us to God. And ultimately, that's what each of us is called to do, live our lives in such a way that God has access to us always, every moment. He does. Objectively, He does. But He respects our free will. Always He respects our free will, which is a very dangerous thing. But God doesn't want His love, our love for God, to be coerced. That's not real love. So He gives us the freedom so that we freely make the choices. What I'm saying to you is make choices now for the kingdom of God. We're enticed by the world. We're enticed by its standards and its values. Because it's all me, 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 me. We like the me in us being fed and nourished. But Jesus has called us to put all our trust and hope in Him. What pleases Him? What does He want of us? Because that leads to happiness even in this life, even in the midst of all the difficulties. There is a deep peace that nothing can shake when you are fully given over to Him. So are you. Perhaps this summer could be a time where your life, from this point on, you say, that's the day I changed. That's the day I embarked on a new journey. It's the day you said, Lord, I don't want to straddle the world and your kingdom anymore. I want to be all in, but I have strong desires, I have strong weaknesses that pull me away. Lord, come be my Savior, be my shepherd. Lead me into the truly good pastures. Lead me. But I give my life to you today, and then say it later in the day when you're tempted or you have fallen. Right away, say it, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, help me. I want to follow you. It'll be a battle because the world and the flesh, to say nothing of Satan, are very strong. But God is greater. God is stronger than all the desires, all the weaknesses, all the sins of our flesh. God is stronger. But He will never violate your free will. And so He asks you to make a decision and then remake it and remake it. No matter how many times you fall, make it again and again, and you watch what happens to your life. Believe me, may this summer be a time of decision for you. From the prophet Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 to 6. This word came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Rise up, be off to the potter's house. There I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, working at the wheel. You might have a potter in your neighborhood, your area. You should watch them sometime. Go and spend some time and then apply it to this scripture. Listen to this. Whenever the object of clay which he was making turned out badly in his hand, he tried again, making of the clay another object of whatever sort he pleased. So he's watching this. It's fascinating to watch. The potter moves his hand in a certain sense very little, but the wheel is spinning and he's shaping and reshaping till he gets what he wants. Well, that clay has to be docile. That clay has to be malleable, teachable in human terms. It can't fight against the potter. And we so often fight against the potter. So he's watching all this. Jeremiah is watching all this. And then the word of the Lord came to me. Can I not do to you, house of Israel, as this potter has done, says the Lord? Indeed, like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, house of Israel. Us together and us personally, individually, are like clay in the hand of the potter, if we allow it to be done. That doesn't make us passive. As we have to allow, we have to give God permission to shape and to reshape us until we become more and more like the vessel he created. He does it through all kinds of things, sometimes through trials and difficulties and pain. And if you keep drawing close to the Lord rather than rejecting God, you're going to find how you, the clay, become remolded into something pleasing to God, and hence bringing you a peace that is beyond understanding. Psalm 146 tells us, blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob. Is God your help? Is that where you turn first? Even when God seems silent, even when a year goes by and you've been crying out to God and nothing has changed, keep praying. Don't give up. He's using even that delay to shape you and mold you. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God while I live. Put not your trust in, scriptures tell us, put not your trust in princes, in the sons of men in whom there is salvation. When his spirit departs, he returns to his earth. On that day, his plans perish. Everything in this life is not eternal. By a long shot. Everything in this life is temporal. Everything. It's going to pass. So where are you putting your time and your energy? What kind of man or woman have you become? Where are you? If you were, in a certain sense, to stand outside yourself and look at you, how would you evaluate yourself? But those who put their trust in the Lord are going to find out that they are of infinite value, that the world, the flesh, and the devil, their priorities and their ideas fade. They pass. Nothing is eternal. Nothing. But what I do for the glory of God and the honor of God as a son or daughter of God will last for all eternity. Whose leadership am I following? Blessed he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them. It's God we have to put our trust in. That's hard. It's hard because God seems silent. He's not. And in the innermost part of your soul, as you are faithful to him, as you shed your sin, as you draw closer to him, you'll begin to hear, as scripture says, that small, still voice. That leads us in the right direction. We have too many voices in us clamoring for attention of our desires, our hopes, our dreams. Put them all into God's hands and listen to God's voice. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 13, verses 47 to 53. Jesus said to the disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a net thrown into the sea, which collects fish of every kind. When it is full, they haul it ashore and sit down to put what is good into buckets. What is bad, they throw away. Thus it will be at the end of the age." He's using parables. He always does, because that's what people can understand. If you pay attention, the angels will go out and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw the wicked into the fiery furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Do you understand all these things? They answered, "Yes." And he replied, "Then If you understand what I'm saying, then every scribe who has been instructed in the kingdom of heaven is like the head of a household who brings from his storeroom both the new and the old. When Jesus finished these parables, he went away from there. Brothers and sisters, there are many, many, blessed be God, opportunities in the church today to learn both the old and the new. And we need both. We need what is time-tested. We need to base our lives on what is certain, the scriptures, the teaching of the church. We need to base our lives. But God surprises us. And in these years of the new evangelization, God is offering us all kinds of opportunities to learn more how God works, how God acts, how we can become more and more his disciples, more and more his sons and daughters, and that he can use us in new ways, in new ways. So if we're a good steward of our lives, we know, we learn step by step. We learn where to go for help, but we learn how to take out of the storehouse of our lives both the old and the new. God is at work, but we have to take some initiative. There are in many places, in many dioceses, marvelous programs being offered to draw us deeper into Christ, to give us the courage and the understanding to see how the devil works in our lives, how to put him aside, how to choose for the kingdom of God, and then to see God bring alive in us all the gifts that he gave us in baptism and confirmation. They're there. We've just got them in the back of the storehouse. We don't refer to them. We don't use them because we don't have enough faith. We don't have enough understanding. So there are many courses right now offered in parishes. They're offered online, good ones. I could say more about that. But I really want you to learn to be a good steward of your life and to know how to take out of the storehouse of your life both the old and some of what is new. Don't go after anything new just because it's new. Don't go after it for curiosity's sake. You say to the Lord, I disciple, I want to follow you, teach me, show me, help me, that I may have wisdom to bring out of my storehouse what is tried and true and what is new. He loves you. He wants you to have life in him, real life, not just existence, not just getting through the day. He wants to give you true life, the life that is in him, that you're fed by him, not just by your own doing, but you're fed and you're nourished and you're strengthened and your thirst is satisfied in him. Choose him for this day. Put him first for today and watch what God does in your life. Brothers and sisters, I have a new booklet on the mercy of God available to you. It is entitled The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. I really urge you to read it. You can access it and receive it free by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. God bless you.